Warning, the following podcast contains spoilers and swears.
Well, hello there.
Hi.
Who are you?
Hi, I'm Evelyn Rogers. Who are you?
I'm your father, Scott Rogers. What are we doing here?
Oh, it's a podcast.
And what are we podcasting about?
The Magicians.
Is that a TV show or something?
It's a TV show and it's a book series.
And what else?
It's also a graphic novel and a comic series and soon to be video game and a one-time board game party thing.
That wasn't a very
party
good board
game. Maybe you should make a Magician's board game.
Maybe I should.
So what's the name of our podcast?
What about?
US? We're called Fillory and Father, and we talk about the magicians and magicians-related things.
What about breakfast cereal? Has there been a magician's breakfast cereal?
Oh, that's not till season four. Mmm, jumbo b-holes.
That's terrible.
My favorite.
Is that your favorite breakfast cereal?
It's my favorite. No, we're not talking about jumbo b-holes. Not yet.
We're talking about other b-holes this episode.
There are no bees in this episode.
But there are lots of a-holes.
All right,
sorry, your mother doesn't like it when I swear on your show.
We have swearing in our disclaimer. We're talking today about season 3, episode 6 of The Magicians, Do You Like Teeth? Who is it directed by?
Directed by Carol Banker.
Good for her.
Carol Banker.
Good for Carol.
All right.
Trigger warning today, we will be discussing themes of depression and probably self-harm and suicide. And also just a warning in general, that's what happens in this episode.
Frogs.
And dragons. Dragons are pretty scary, too.
They are scary.
Yeah.
All right, let's talk about it.
What
happens in this episode?
In this episode? Well, Alice and Julia are the first people we see, and they are trying to... Julia basically knew from Marina that they had tried a magical transfer using, like, electrical parts and stuff. And so she's getting...
Wait, how did they find out that Marina had...
Julia was with Marina in the when she was in the safe houses, remember?
Right, and then what
So did... she, like, heard that Marina did a spell with a fawn to get its magic.
Right, and then they wrote it down, like, it became a legend, right, within all the hedge witches?
I guess.
Does that mean that Marina creates fawn fiction?
You get one.
I get one. Why?
You get one, and that's it.
This is Fillory and Father, so there's going to be at least a father joke in this.
But Julia gets out like a bunch of electrical equipment, including a like one of those dancing talking fish that you mount on the wall, and they create like this mountain of microchips.
Yeah,
it doesn't look
garbage-y.
Like a machine. It just looks like they glued a bunch of like fucking circuit boards together.
Yeah, it's the most garbagey looking device they've had on this show yet.
Yeah.
A show that is filled with garbagey looking devices.
And the fish starts to dance. It starts singing, I Will Survive. I almost said Staying Alive. That's a different song.
That is a different fish.
And the fish... It, like, signals them, and Alice grabs the truth key, and oh my god, you can see Penny. He's been trying to get their attention
Penny
for the past hour.
Penny has become the fish.
He is being the fish, just like I am the fish. He's like, I've been trying to warn you guys for, like, the past hour, you know, this is probably not gonna work, and you're gonna probably fucking kill yourselves, because I saw some people do this when I was on a book-busting venture, and they... caught on fire. and he's like, God, Fog was right. You guys are fucked. And then when he says that, it transitions to Dean Fog in his office, which is a very fun time.
And why is it fun time?
Why is it fun time? Because I like the transition. Oh. Also, there was a really nice overhead shot of them at, like, the couch looking through stuff later, and I thought that was really cinematic and cool.
All right. Well, then they see Dean Fog, but Dean Fog doesn't see them.
Yes, because he's still blind from season one, you know. But basically, Fog is the one who created that magical transfer spell. It's called the Voltaic Transfer, and it's a very delicate procedure, and they're probably going to fuck it up and explode if they do it, since, you know, only Julia actually has magic, and Alice has, like, maybe 1/10 of a 10th of magic. But Julia fixes his glasses for him so he can see, kind of like Data style, you know.
Data?
That's how I imagine
you
he can
see. You mean Geordi.
Whoa! Watching a lot of Star Trek recently. It is all mush in my brain.
Geordi has glasses.
Geordi has Data. Glasses, I know.
All right.
My mind, they're dating. They're, you know.
They're dating.
They're a unit.
They're a couple.
Yeah, they're a unit.
What would the ship title be?
I don't know. I think there's a name for it.
Jada or Geordi.
Geordi.
Geordi would be
cute.
It.
It's right. A cute name.
So Geordi, I mean, sorry. So,
no, so
Fog and Alice. So Phallus?
No. No, you know, my friend Bella came up with the ship named Fokovsky, and it's Dean Fogg and Mayakovsky, and she's like, they have big divorced energy, which honestly I can believe.
All right, so Fogg gets his eyes restored
His eyes restored, you know, partially thanks
Julia.
To Julia, and she's like, Alice will come back and recharge those when I transfer my magic. And he's like, fine, okay, here's something that'll boost your spell. You need to go talk to an incubus.
Yes. What is an incubus?
An incubus is someone who is like a creature that steals energy. A succubus is the one that, like, steals energy via sex, so.
But what does an incubus steal?
Incubus steals, like, the energy.
Like,
the stress energy.
So they're a downer?
Yeah.
So they're like the vampire on What We Do in the Shadows?
Yeah, energy vampires, basically.
Yes, energy vampire. Like your grandmother.
She doesn't listen to this. It's fine that we say that. Then we see Margot and Lady Agate. Lady Agate says that she's, you know, also been planning on overthrowing their mutual pale friend, and that they found this kind of,
it seems like a trap.
Fancy thing that'll, like, you know, kill her. It's like a sword or whatever.
It's a knife.
Knife.
Yes, they said it was a knife.
Stone. It has stone in the name. It did not write down.
But
she leads Margot to some bedchambers where Fomar is waiting, and she locks her inside.
And she's like, I'm not going to help you unless you Fomar my Fomar.
That was bad. No more jokes.
Sorry, this episode is full of jokes.
No, it's not.
This is the jokiest episode we're going to have. We have to do something.
To lighten the mood.
Well, that's part of it, yes.
But Margot gets locked in there, and then we see Julia and Alice with the incubus, and like, hey, so we need your thing. Don't say it.
That word.
Well-proportioned thing.
That word has been banned on this podcast.
His penis. but then the incubus is like, oh, that was a prank. I lied to Fogg about that, and he believed it for 25 years.
Instead,
I have a magical tail, and I'm just going to sniff your stress for a little bit, and then, yeah, you can take my tail and leave, you know?
That seemed like awful. Like, on this show where they have to jump through hoops for everything,
mm-hmm.
It seems like they got off awful light this time.
Yes, well, considering what happens to Alice at the end, it's not that great.
Was that why she got... foamy?
Yeah.
Because of the tail?
No, not because of the... Okay, well, I will explain later.
All right.
But then we see the Fairy Queen with Elliot. Elliot's back, and she's like, oh, you seem to have misplaced your wife and child. And he's like, oh, you know, it happens. And she's like, you need to make sure that Margot consummates her marriage with the floaters. Like, Lady Agate needs it, and I need it, so you need to make this happen. Or else I'm going to cut off bits of you because I need new keepsakes. I need to look cute.
You know, they got to take care of this Fairy Queen. This is going on far
too
long.
She's great, though. Shout out to Candace Cane.
I mean, she's a lovely actress.
Lovely woman.
The Fairy Queen itself. I cannot wait for something.
No, the Fairy Queen's great. She's so great.
No.
I love her.
She's mean.
No, I love her.
She's mean and her,
no, I love her so much.
Makeup bothers me.
But no, her makeup's awesome. I love it. It's so hot. I love it.
No, it bothers me.
I think it's great.
Those white eyelashes.
I love her white eyelashes. Are you kidding me? I was literally thinking about how much I liked her white eyelashes during this episode.
They're so annoying.
So cute. No, I love it. It's
so cute.
Are you
gonna get white eyelashes?
You want to know something? I literally, while we were watching this, ordered white eyeliner.
What? No, don't wear it around me.
No, it's gonna be so great.
Is that what you're doing? Are you turning yourself into a fairy?
No.
So you've already dyed your hair silver.
Uh-huh.
So now you're gonna get white eyeliner.
Uh-huh.
What's next? Are you gonna get all black contact lenses?
Maybe.
Yeah, and then
I was
what?
Thinking about it. Well, I already have fairy fabric
right.
and the fairy necklace.
Yeah,
so I'm good to go.
You're almost there. You just have to shave
your
fairy, eyebrows.
I also have no. I can cover them up. I took a makeup class. You
That's
know
true.
This.
I've seen it. It's
you know this. I have all the tools.
You without your eyebrows, your power eyebrows. You're. It's wrong.
I look more like you when I don't have eyebrows.
Like me.
Yeah.
But I have wonderful eyebrows.
I know, but
that's
at
where
one
you
point
got your
didn't
eyebrows
have
from.
Them.
That was only for like 8 months.
8 months?
Yes.
More than that.
Okay, 12 maybe.
That's a year.
Less than a year. They grew back.
They grew back. Yeah.
Eyebrows grow back. That's
eyebrows
a good news. That
back.
Is a good news for you.
They do grow back.
Is that the eyebrows
well,
do grow back.
They grow back even faster if you don't even do anything to them. You just cover them with makeup.
That is true. You
yes.
just have to wash them off. And
yes.
then voila, eyebrows.
Well, it's you use warm water and soap as well as
right, this
isopropyl
is not
miracate.
A makeup podcast.
Isopropyl miracate.
This
I listen
is
to
is not
Hale.
A podcast.
Shout out to Hale Rizdana, my makeup production.
Hey,
makeup
how
professor.
Come when I bring up
I
something
love her so
and
much.
You shut me down with this is not a podcast, I stop. And you
don't stop.
This is a
though.
Double standard.
You don't stop though.
I think we're reaching a halfway point here
uh-huh.
in our podcasting relationship. So we might need to set some boundaries.
Uh-huh.
About
are you podcast divorcing me?
No, I'm not podcast divorcing you, but maybe we'll have a podcast trial separation.
No.
No. All right.
You already tried to do the podcast about me. You
without
did a,
you.
You did a silly voice and you did my voice.
Yes, I could have carried it all off.
No.
I could have done the whole podcast.
No,
by
you don't
myself.
Have my sense of humor.
No, that's true.
But the Fairy Queen asks Elliot to coerce Margot into having sex with Fomar.
Ugh.
And Elliot's like, no, have you ever heard of statutory rape? And she's like, what? Fomar's not a statue.
Yeah, Queen Fairy, I'm dumb.
None of these fantasy creatures know anything about consent.
Or statuary.
Yes. Or statues. But then we see Fomar and Margot, and he's like, ooh, is it time for me to see your maiden peaks? Ugh, awful.
First of all, how romantic can any...
15-year-old?
No. How romantic can any culture be if all your analogies are
rock-related?
Yes.
I mean, you know,
I guess
Micah
as long as
was
he,
pretty successful.
That's true. As long as he doesn't take her for granted, I guess it's okay.
That's a
jokes.
Joke. You stole that from the fucking Jungle Cruise.
No,
ride.
What? Oh, the Jungle Cruise?
Yeah,
yeah of
you
course
stole
I did.
That one from the Jungle Cruise.
That's not
ride.
Steal. It's called homaging.
Well, you know what they say. Good artists borrow, great artists steal. Thank you, Joe Donia. My
come
theater
up with
teacher.
That saying,
he did not, but
he stole that from
it,
someone else.
But he stole it.
He stole it from Picasso, who stole it from someone else.
Uh huh. Well, Picasso's not a great artist. He abused
he was,
women.
Well, he's not a great person, but he was a great artist.
And he's okay.
He was innovative.
He's okay.
And he was really good at self-promoting.
He's okay.
But, yes, he was
but Margo's like,
podcast.
This is not a Picasso podcast, nor would I want it to be. Margo brings out a little health. She's like, you need some sex ed, so here's a health book. Vaginas are the leading cause of death in men.
Hey, let me ask you a question. Who
yes.
has that vagina book?
I don't know that.
But I'm sure some one of your little friends bought it online,
not
right?
one of my friends.
No?
No.
You don't think somebody got that as a prop?
No, I do think somebody got that as a prop, but I do not know who got it.
I wonder who did those drawings.
Those drawings? Probably so, some kind of artist contracted.
I hope the artist
show.
That did them didn't run into
Is
the same problem
day?
That I did.
What?
So when I when I was in college, I worked on a horror movie, and they had this book that they wanted that was like a Necronomicon. And they
you
said,
already told this story on this podcast.
On this podcast,
yes, you did.
Like, you ruined the book.
Yes.
And then they got mad at me.
Yes,
because
you told
they lost
the story.
Their deposit.
You told this story
so I hope,
on this podcast. All right.
Well, it probably was episodes ago. So I hope that whoever drew the great big book of Florian menstrual.
Well, it's yeah. made for educational purposes. It's
only
not
one
writing.
Page per topic.
No, there's more than one page. She folded it out, and there
she
were
showed
pages.
Three pages.
But
one
there
about
were fold
two child,
page spreads.
One about childbirth. One about menstruating,
and
one
about
I forget
puberty. I think
was the puberty the third one.
Yeah,
it went by so fast.
Yeah, well, it's basically just like a bunch of educational diagrams.
How would you have liked to spend all that time drawing in that book, making funny pictures,
just to show up for like one
literally
scene?
Literally, they just
that's what happens through. All the time, dude.
I know it's a bummer. They, those artists in films that do art, like that do that kind of art, don't get enough credit.
Well, shout out to those artists.
Yes, yay, those artists. Excellent. Insert shots, they call them.
Insert shots,
artists that do insert shots.
But she's like, oh, do you like teeth? Haha, name drop of the episode. So funny.
Well, why? Why is that so funny?
It's because Hal Oppenheim was in the 2008 film Teeth, where his dick got bitten off by a vagina with teeth.
Yeah, but here's the thing.
There you go. That's the summary. He plays the rapist. Guys, don't watch it.
He's embarrassed about it.
It's not a good movie, honestly.
No, it's
like,
not.
I watched it. The pacing's weird.
It's bad.
Toby, garbage character. Sorry, Hale.
I didn't even recognize him from that, though, to be honest.
Uh-huh.
Like, I saw that movie, like, years ago. Not in the theater or anything. But then, when Hale Appelman comes on, it's not like I went, hey, that's a guy
wearing,
from that movie.
A polo shirt, and he's got
long,
curly,
a polo shirt. That's
long,
the ultimate disguise.
Yeah.
That's like Clark Kent.
Yeah.
Let me put on this polo shirt.
Happy
Where
birthday,
did I go?
Superman. Today is Superman's birthday when we're recording this. I love you, Clark Kent. I love you, Kal-El.
Cal,
but this
now
is
wait,
not
you
a
love,
Superman podcast,
you,
but
be,
I
though.
Do love Superman
But
so
do you
much.
Love Kal-El with just the L, or do you love Kal-El with the E-L?
Because
Cal, you know the difference.
It's EL.
No, L is the original version. EL is the later version.
Well, I don't know.
Because L, EL is, wait, one of them is from
no, EL
Judaism.
Is, oh, yeah.
L, I think just the plain old L.
Yeah, but EL is what his name was.
Well, no, later it was.
Uh-huh.
Originally, it was just L.
In the 50s, though, it's
In the
EL.
40s, 30s, it was
In the 30s, yeah, but
Well, in the 30s, it was nothing. He wasn't any. Nobody
yeah,
knew anything
but in
about
the,
him
like,
until.
In the 50s, it's EL.
Right, right. Well, it's EL now.
Anyway, it's not a Superman podcast.
It should be
shout
a Superman
Shout out to Clark Kent,
podcast.
My favorite Kansas boy.
Maybe
I
that
love
could
you
be
so
our
much.
Other podcast.
We almost did that concept.
I know, we did.
And then you were like, this sucks.
Well, it just,
I don't
we
want to
were
read
taking
the comics.
Too long.
I don't want to read the
we
comics.
We should have just done
you,
one
We
comic
did an
book.
Almost 2-hour episode last episode.
Yeah, what? Well, that was because we had special guest High King Fillory. But now, but no, before, so this is a little inside baseball.
Inside
Evelyn
baseball.
And I tried to do a podcast about comic books, and we would talk about comic
we
books.
Did
but the
very
problem
first
was
episode.
We did two comics in that one episode. That was too many.
No.
Just like, do we do two episodes in a Fillory and Father?
No, but on the fic list, they do two
But
fics.
That's the fic list.
They do two fics,
Nobody
though.
Wants to spend a lot of time talking about fan fiction.
I
don't
do.
Blame them.
They do a whole podcast
right,
about
well, maybe,
it, and it's
why don't
a lovely
you go on,
podcast.
Why don't
Shout
you go
out to
on
Aaron.
That
Aaron and Alan.
Yeah,
their
hi, Aaron
podcast
and Alan. We love
is
your podcast.
Starting
but,
soon again.
Yeah,
I'm
maybe
very excited
Evelyn
for them to finally...
could be a guest.
I'm very excited for them to finally read... any of the fanfics I submitted. I think I've submitted up to 40 now.
Okay, guess what this is?
Not a fanfiction podcast.
Exactly.
But
so,
we do occasionally talk about it.
That's true. Because it
because
is part
you
of...
keep writing fanfiction and not actually writing
I have not
writing
written
it.
Actually any fanfiction yet. Because you know how I feel.
Well,
about
then
fanfiction.
Speaking of fanfiction, then we see Quentin and Elliot and...
writing fanfiction.
No, Quentin's in his little Fillorian guards uniform in disguise. This is maybe the only... aside from
you
when he's
a fake
in the...
mustache.
No. Aside from the time that he is in the retreat and wearing the centaur claws, this is like... this episode is literally the only time we see Quentin in Fillorian clothing. And it
Why?
Is a goddamn shame that
Why?
This boy, who is a fan of this fantasy world, never got to wear the fucking clothing from the fantasy world. And
no
he looks
way.
So fucking
Didn't
hot
he
in it.
Wear when he got crowned? Didn't
no, he?
He
was wearing a fucking, like... plaid shirt and undershirt,
I
dude.
Thought he wore, like, some
no.
sort of puffy shirt at
No,
one point.
It was, no. That was in the retreat. The retreat was the only time he wore Fillorian clothing, and even then, it's technically Centaurian clothing. It's not actually Fillorian clothing.
What's the difference?
Because they're centaurs. They get a different culture.
Well, but that just means the pants are bigger in the back.
Yes. But this is the only other episode that we see Quentin in Fillorian clothing, and it is a goddamn shame
he
that we don't see him in it.
He looks kind of like he's working at In-N-Out, though.
But he looks cute. He's got his little hair tied up in a little bun, and it's pulled back. And then
bun.
They look so tenderly at each other. So
they do. He
Elliot,
gets a little kiss.
Elliot pulls Quentin to the side, and he says, "Hey, so tell me what's up with the quest." And Quentin says, "Okay, well, the next key is in the abyss, so we get to go on a boat quest together, babe. I'm so excited to go on a boat quest with you." And Elliot's like, "Well, actually, I have to stay here and like tend to the kingdom and whatever. Sucks." And Quentin's like, "Oh, I just really wanted to go on a boat quest with you, but it's okay. And
it's not okay.
Elliot's like, you know what? You could take Benedict, you know? Go be life partners with someone else for a bit.
You know,
and then they hug, and they, like, tenderly hug, and Elliot holds him. He gives him a little smooch on the forehead, and Quentin looks so sad and conflicted. And he's like, you know, you can do that thing that you've always wanted to do on the prow of a boat. Quentin's like, oh, what thing, Elliot? Oh, you know, the thing. It hurts me inside because knowing the context.
Is that what you want to do on a boat?
The thing?
Yeah. You know what the thing is,
the
right?
The thing.
What's the thing?
It's when you, like, put your arms out and you're like, I'm Titanic. King of the world, you know?
Why couldn't they just say the Titanic?
Because
thing?
It's cuter. They're domestic and they're in love, but also they both technically kind of divorced. And so they're in this weird gray area where they're pretending like everything's fine, but everything's not really fine. But we as the viewers don't know that that happened. But then we'll find out that that happened.
We know what happened. We saw the whole previous episode.
I'm saying that
where they were an old married.
We don't get the context that Elliot kind of broke it off, and then they're just kind of playing it off like it's fine.
Well,
afterwards.
I thought they just played it off because they weren't sure if it happened, but then they were like, peaches and plums, it happened.
No. Elliot rejects Quentin, and then this is like post rejection.
Elliot rejects Quentin.
Yeah, you've seen this show.
No.
It's in Escape from the Happy Place. Elliot watches
when
his
is
own
the
memory.
Happy Place?
Season 4, Episode 5.
We're not there yet.
But we talk about spoilers. And Elliot goes and watches his own memories, and his biggest regret is that he rejected Quentin when Quentin was like, hey, you know, we should give it a shot for real this time, like, in this actual timeline. Like, I want to be with you. I lived 50 years with you. I want to have that again. And then Elliot got spooked. And then he rejected him. Because Elliot has attachment issues, and also he's been, like, traumatized by his past and his childhood and his friendship relationships with Taylor and Mike and the fact that he's been betrayed. Because he didn't think that he could have that moment of simplicity again, because the mosaic he thought was, like, an outlier where, like, everything was contained and they didn't have a quest and nothing crazy was going on. So he felt like it was safe and it could be simple and, like, full of love, but then once they got back to the real world with those real world problems, you know, he was like, oh no, it's complicated again, and I'm gonna be like, oh, Quentin doesn't love me like that, you know, and so he's just gonna self-sabotage and ruin that relationship that could have actually happened, where he could have this good, like, strong and intimate love for the, like, really the first time in his life, this kind of romantic love, I should say. Margot is his big platonic love, who already provides that for him, but it's different, but, you know, it's just, like, he rejected that moment. And so now we are seeing the aftermath of that, where they're still kind of, they don't know where they stand with each other, so they're kind of pretending it's okay. So as you watch, as we go forward in the season, from episode 5, you will see how they interact with each other. And it's, like, you can tell, like, something has happened between them, but neither of them are talking about it. Which is why, you know, tensions get really high at the end in Will You Play With Me, which is the season finale of this season. And so it's just, like, it all culminates in these tiny little moments where it blows up at the end of the season. And it's just, it's beautiful. It's beautiful, subtle acting from Jason Ralph and Hale Appelman. And it's just so tasty and so overwrought with, like, emotion and stuff. And it hurts, man. And that's why when Elliot, if you notice, Quentin looks really sad when, you know, they're hugging, whatever. Elliot gives him a little kiss on his forehead. When Elliot gives Quentin a little kiss on the forehead, he brings his hand down from when they were hugging. Because, you know, before they're, like, you know, kind of being close. But now Elliot's giving Quentin mixed signals because, you know, he's like, we're going to go on a boat quest. And then Elliot's like, oh, no, never mind. And but then he still gives him a little kiss. And Quentin's like, what the fuck am I supposed to do with this? But anyway, that's my long spiel about that. I have a lot of emotions about it.
This show is very complex.
Yes.
The Mandalorian is not as complex as this show.
Mandalorian is just a Western. Shoot, shoot, Baby Yoda.
How dare you?
But it's not a Mandalorian podcast.
Oh, if only.
But then we see a boat montage. Quentin gets to swing his little
He's on
sword.
A boat. But where's Bingle?
Bingle's not there.
There should be a Bingle.
Bingle
I would have taken Bingle instead of
for
Benedict.
One
Sorry,
episode,
Benedict.
And that's it.
Sorry, Harvey. But Bingle would have been much more useful
no,
in this
but we
situation.
Love Harvey.
I know we
and
do.
And we get to see Admiral Lacker. So maybe Bingle's there. We just don't ever see him.
Well, Bingle, like, got shafted.
Yeah.
Bingle, can you imagine...
Bingle? Are you saying that's the actor's name? Bingle?
Yes. Can you imagine that you're Bingle and you get hired on a show and you've read the book, like Hale said he read for the book for the part, and you're like, oh my gosh, Bingle is in so much and he's got such a big part and he's like, you know, he's part of the adventure. And then like you're on one episode, you walk past.
You do a little swishy swish with your sword.
No, he didn't even swishy swish.
He pulled it out once.
Did he?
Yeah.
When?
When they were talking to the father. And he pulled out the sword to his neck.
Right, right. Yeah. But that's it. That's all Bingle got to do that one whole episode.
That's all he got.
Bingle got robbed.
He did. He did get
Maybe
robbed.
Maybe that would be a t-shirt.
Bingle, do you want that?
Bingle got robbed.
For your birthday?
No, I do not want a Bingle t-shirt for my birthday.
Why not?
No. There's other. If I'm only going to get one shot of something for my
Bingle
birthday.
Bingle boys?
No.
Yes.
No.
Wait, yes.
No.
I'm making that for you for
no,
your birthday.
No, you're not.
It's going to say Bingle Boys.
No, I'm not Bingle
it's
Boys.
It's going to say
like
Bingle
some
Boys.
Sort of gay porn thing.
But we get to see a boat montage, and Quentin gets to swish his little sword.
Yes,
and
he gets to yell. But then he got embarrassed.
I know, it's so cute. Shy. And he's in his little boat quest outfit, and it is the best outfit. I love it so much.
The Boat Quest?
The Boat Quest outfit.
He just looks like a depressed...
Blue looks great on Quentin.
Oh, well, I thought he was in, like, black leotard.
No!
He's
in blue. He's in a black... blue tunic with, like, a little vest.
Oh, that one?
Yeah.
Oh, I forget.
It's cute. And then later. We see Quentin and Benedict in the Muntjac. They enter the abyss, so everything gets dark. Like,
yes.
They just turn off all of their set lights.
And then they find...
And then they find... Felicia Day. Oh my God, it's Poppy Klein.
No, it's not.
Draconologist and research field researcher, student of break bills from the spring break class of 2016.
Excuse me, I have now read all three of the
books.
Yeah,
I know, it's not Poppy.
It's not Poppy.
Not Poppy in the slightest.
Not Poppy at all. Poppy in the book is cool.
Yeah.
And awesome. And
sorry
Felicia, but it is, you're no Poppy. You're like some evil version of Poppy. Bizarre universe version of Poppy.
Yeah.
Who has sex with dragons.
Yeah, yeah. Speaking of bizarre universes, I wrote a fic that takes place...
With Poppy?
No, Poppy is in it, yes. It takes place during this episode.
This is not a fan fiction.
But I'm allowed. But it is
What's
my
it
podcast.
All right, then plug it. What's it called?
It's called Court of Strangers, and it's about... both the book and the TV show Quentin switching places and going on each other's boat quests.
And where can you read this?
On Archive of Our Own. My username is Fishy Dwells, the same as most things.
So if you like fan fiction.
If you like fan fiction.
Then you should read it
and you should comment on it.
If you
please.
Don't like fan fiction.
don't read
do
it.
Yourself a favor.
No. Read Dad's fan fiction.
My fan. I don't have. What if I got an archive of my own?
I would happily support you and subscribe and wait for you to post things.
You have to pay money for it?
No, it's free. It's beta.
How do you do this?
You just make an account.
And in what format do you have to write it in?
I mean, I write my stuff on Word, and then I put it into Google Docs, and then I copy and paste it in rich text and edit and then upload it.
Rich text?
Yeah, it's HTML. You can edit it.
That's the format that I always see and I never use.
Well, you just copy and paste, dude. That's what I do. I don't like to write things in the AO3
box. What if you write
box?
Like a massive... thing.
Then you upload it,
like
dude.
Your friend did that massive Lord of the Rings book.
Yeah.
That's bigger than the original book.
Yeah, shout out to Sansuk, the best Lord of the Rings fan fiction by Dedder Mamfid. Not a Lord of the Rings podcast, but maybe it could be.
Nope, it's definitely not going to be, because that I cannot take more magician's nerdiness is enough for me.
I'll do it with someone else. I'll force someone.
Why don't you do it with your Sansuk friend?
No, Dets is a working mother.
Well, working mothers
she's busy.
Need time to do podcasts.
But yeah, I mean, you could just make an account and just do that.
You make it sound so simple.
It is very simple. You just get an email and then it takes like maybe 2 to 3 weeks to get an account.
I don't know. I would only, I think I would only.
You could post comics on there. Yeah. My friend posts comics on there. She posts Baggage Shield comics.
I wonder if we got, let's see, what would be a number, an impossible number for our fan base? If we got 100, yeah, we got 100 people emailing us saying, I would read Mr. Evelyn's dad's fan fiction, I would write a fan fiction.
What would you write, though? Which one is your idea?
That's a secret.
Oh, okay. I see.
I got to motivate the audience
somehow.
You hear
it now, audience members.
100 emails that say with a subject
emails.
Line... I would read Mr. Evelyn's dad's fanfic.
Fanfic?
Yeah. And then if you post this, and if you, you know, maybe you can turn this into
tweet at us.
Yeah. No, not tweet. Email. has to be
email. Oh, you know what? We could do a poll and they could choose what we could write about.
No. I'm not letting the hoi polloi choose what my fan fiction is.
Well, you could do more than one.
Don't obligate me to more than one fan fiction. And I'm not even promising that the fan fiction would be more than like a sentence.
Oh my God. You know, you could write flash fiction.
What is that? Like about the Flash?
No, superhero? That's normal fiction.
I told
you
about my Flash experience.
You could write
right?
a drabble, which is just 100 words.
You're making up all these terms.
I'm not. You could write a one shot, which is just one chapter. That's what
one shot
is.
A one shot comic book.
No.
That's not a one shot.
Well, there's 100. Two definitions for the same term. A one-shot is a one-chapter
fan fiction.
Well,
there's three definitions for one-shot, but I can't tell you what the third one is.
Oh, God. But, yeah. Basically, to circle back to what we were talking about way at the beginning, yeah, the poppies are very different.
Yeah, I don't like it.
And also, Felicia Day isn't Australian.
No, they are not.
It sucks.
They're Southern California,
but she
is
like,
Northern California?
Mm-hmm.
What do we know about Felicia Day?
I don't know what we know about Felicia Day. She was in Dr. Horrible.
And I know that Felicia Day used to play D&D with my old boss's D&D group.
Uh-huh.
And we met, and you waited in line.
I met Felicia Day, yes.
To
I have
Felicia
met Felicia Day.
Was Felicia Day nice?
She was nice. It was for the Guild, and I was like, I haven't seen the Guild, but I like Dr. Horrible.
And what did
she
say?
She was like,
about
thank
that?
You. And then I got signatures from everyone else in the cast, and I was like,
not them? Not Felicia Day?
I did, yeah.
Oh, okay. And then what? Where is that signature?
That I don't know. I got, it was at Comic-Con.
What do you think it's worth now?
$2? $2. Sorry, Felicia, if you're reading this, if you're listening to this. Wow.
All right. Felicia will not be listening.
She will not be listening.
I'm sure.
But Poppy is being shifty, and she, like, she's, like, looking off to the side where no one's
there. Yeah, every time she says something of import about the key, she goes, looking off.
Yeah.
Da, da, da.
Yeah, but then we see Elliot. He gets a message from Prince S, who was let go from the dungeons after Margot cleared all of his charges. And he gets some information. So he goes to the Fairy Queen and says, hey, you know, I think that Margot and Fomar need to have a honeymoon by the Northern Orchard. You know, there's some aphrodisiacs over there. Really get there. You get them going, you know?
And Wicked Queen says, sure.
She says, go ahead, but you better do it or else I'll cut your bits off. So then...
I know she says, I'll take your spleen.
Yeah, I'll take your spleen.
Which everybody knows is the funniest organ.
The funniest organ?
In the human body.
But then we see Poppy, she's drinking with Quentin, and she's explaining what happened. So she and her crew were shipwrecked off the coast of the Truth Waters, and they found a golden key. Well, she stole
truth
it.
Waters?
It's just a place in the ocean.
What do you mean? If
in
you drink
Fillory.
It, it makes you tell the truth?
I don't know, man.
If you swim in it,
maybe
tells
you
the
need
truth?
To write about it.
No, I think Lev needs to write about
no,
it.
No, he doesn't. He didn't create that.
I know. Well, maybe he did. Maybe it's in his note. Do you think Lev has like a whole book on Fillory that he used to write?
Considering it, he spent 10 years writing the book, yes.
So he probably has like Fillory notebooks somewhere?
Yeah.
Maybe he should publish that.
Yeah, that, you know, like, you know, like Tolkien's notes.
Yeah, like his, what would, what was it,
Silmarillion.
What would Lev's...
Well, that's posthumous, so Lev would have to die, which we don't want to happen.
No. He did. No, didn't Tolkien write Silmarillion?
He wrote the Silmarillion. He spent his whole life writing it, but he never published it, and it was never completed.
Oh, so his son
Christopher Tolkien,
he was like,
compiled... Cha-ching. His son compiled everything, and so it was actually legible and, like, a readable story, and then he kept
really
working for the... And then he... Yes, it is. It just reads like a textbook. And then he...
No, it reads like the Bible.
It reads like a textbook, dude. And then he spent the rest of his life compiling those stories from the Silmarillion and from his father's notes and created the histories of Middle-earth and, you know, like, Beren and Lúthien, Túrin and Túrinbar, all kinds of stuff.
Well,
you know?
Lev could do that.
He could... Write Lord of the Rings?
Yeah, no. I mean, he could fill in the bits. So.
Fill in the blanks?
Well, actually, didn't you guys try to do that with the role-playing game?
What? No.
No? You didn't, like, take little bits and elaborate on them?
I mean, I'm going to.
No,
I'm going to run a game of...
Yeah, but I'm saying in
friends,
the... No, I'm
about
saying...
About the magicians.
No. Didn't you just do, like, a D&D compendium for the magicians?
I did not write that.
But didn't that person, like, try to fill in the gaps of the stuff?
No,
the
it was
magicians?
All pre-existing things.
So they didn't, like, be
they
talking about the lady
anything.
On the book and
no,
go...
No, they didn't.
Nothing.
It was all show... It was mostly show stuff with a little bit of book stuff.
They didn't make up anything?
No, it was all from the show. Because there's a lot
Seems
of
like a
content
wasted
in the
opportunity to
show.
make up stuff and get
Okay,
Lev
well,
mad at you for making up things and
you don't want Lev to
go
be mad at
and him
you.
go, that's not the way it's supposed to be. I
No.
know what it kind of like
No.
George Lucas and his midichlorian stuff, right? How he wanted to make the whole sequels about midichlorians.
Yeah, well.
And then everybody was like, we're not doing that because
It's not a
midichlorians
Star
went
Wars
over
movie,
and
Kat.
went over so well the first time. And now everybody's like, where is that midichlorian script, George? We want to read it. It can't be any worse than the sequels.
Well, Poppy says she stole a golden key, and she's like, "Well, I don't know what it does, but it does have some kind of energy."
She's
And
full of crap.
she puts it on the table, and then every time, and then she like looks over her shoulder mysteriously, and she keeps pushing the key closer and closer to Quentin, who is like passing out
Who's getting
from all the
drunk?
alcohol. And then we see Penny and Alice and Julia. Penny is watching Alice and Julia try and do the magic transfer, and Hyman shows up, and he's like, "Oh, I see you pretend not to care, but you're the one who cares the most. Maybe you need to watch something else. Maybe you need to leave and
So wait a
stop being
second.
invested in the story where
S
people aren't helping you."
stop.
Yes.
So, Hyman and by transitive property, Penny,
Yeah.
are they now aware that they're in a television show?
No.
Because he says, "Watch, go watch some other show."
Yeah, he's talking about Hyman. Remember, in Be the Penny was like, "I watch all your guys' kind of quote unquote storylines,
Right.
and that's how I spend my time, is I watch other people." That's what he means.
But doesn't
He's like,
it?
he should he said you should leave these people alone and you should watch something else because you're not an active player in this anymore. So why would you participate?
Because you, they
And it
still might
sucks.
mention you.
It sucks. It sucks.
It's
Poor
kind of
Penny.
like
But I love Penny so
it's kind of
much.
like they want it's kind of like you want, you know, if you know that somebody's having a conversation about you, don't you want to stick around to see what they say about you?
Well, he does stay. Well, he says he's gonna leave, and then he does start to stay.
And then he doesn't.
He doesn't. But they actually succeed. Alice and Julia succeed in transferring the magic. Woohoo! And then we see Poppy. Quentin passes out, and so she puts the key into his hand and
Yes.
runs off. And then when Quentin wakes up, there is another Quentin sitting across from him, insulting
All right,
him.
so let me ask you, who is more annoying? Evil, negative Quentin or Niffin Alice?
See, the thing with like the depression Quentin is that he is a manifestation of Quentin's own like psyche,
Sure.
whereas Niffin Alice was like, you know, Alice being mean because she was like full of spite and
Well,
anger from being a Niffin and being dead and
it wasn't really Alice.
distilled knowledge and stuff. We're not gonna get into that again. So it's they're fundamentally different because the thing like Alice knows how to jab, you know, and she's trying to be annoying because she just wants to get what she wants. But with the depression Quentin, it is those negative
He's
thoughts
the brain weasel.
reflecting back on himself. Yes, it's his brain weasel, and it
And
sucks.
we hate brain
We
weasels.
hate brain weasels
This
on
is
this
an
podcast.
anti-brain
Sorry,
weasel
sorry to
podcast.
real weasels. We love real
Yes,
weasels,
real weasels
but
are
fuck
awesome,
brain
and
weasels,
brains
man.
are awesome,
Brains are also
but
awesome.
brain
They're very
weasels,
delicious.
we have a no brain weasel policy here
No brain weasels.
on Filler
Filler
and
and
Father.
Father.
Yay, we did it.
No, we're
Oh
not
no.
done.
All right, keep going.
Just two depressed bitches doing a
Who are you
podcast.
calling a bitch?
Myself.
And
I am. But like a good looking one. Thank you. Thank you very much. But then we see Poppy doing evil yoga, which is just normal yoga, but she makes it evil because she's spiteful and
she's a mean,
gaining. No.
no, self.
Helping.
She's narcissistic.
No, it's like she does stuff for her own gain. That's what I'm trying to
She's
say.
psychopathic.
No. But she's like, "Oh yeah, so the key actually does stuff. Surprise, surprise. It takes the darkest part of you and makes it tangible and real and talks to you until you kill yourself, basically. And it killed half of my crew. We passed it around, kind of figured out
Half, it killed all.
half.
All.
No, they got into a shipwreck.
Yeah, but
The
then
rest of them died, and
in a shipwreck.
she was left with the key.
Oh.
Yeah. But she's like, yeah, we kind of figured out that some of them like affects them early on, and you know, because some
Some
people are
people
just
are
more
more
susceptible, and some
susceptible.
people it takes longer for them to wear down. And Quentin's like, well, you gave me something that killed, that made half of your crew kill themselves. And she's like, oh, it's fine, you know, you're so happy and Plucky, you'll be good. You're strong. You know, I'm not weak, you know, and you're not weak. So it's like, fine. And Quentin's like, I'm on a boat. I am not normally like this. And it's just...
It goes down there from there.
And
Evil Quentin is mean.
Depression Quentin is just mean. Ragging on him and saying mean stuff to him. And he's like, yo, you know, you're gonna fail. But Quentin turns around and goes back to him and says, you know, I've faced off with you before, asshole. Maybe not, you know, maybe more subtly, but I have a black belt and I'm gonna beat this. And
he's saying I have a black belt in this.
Yeah, so come at me, man. You know, I can deal with it, and it's whatever. And then we just see Depression Quentin, like, insulting my boy. He calls Quentin a senile, frowny foot face. So sad. And he's like, you can't run me off, you can't eat me off, you can't drink me off, and you cannot jerk me off, dude. You know, you just gotta deal with me, and I'm just gonna sit here and wait. Which is,
I don't know,
awful.
Those things work pretty good for depression.
No. Dad. But then Quentin's just laying on his bed, and the depression cue is laying on the floor next to him.
Should have been depression cue on the floor. Regular cue on the floor and depression cue on the bed.
But he's like, you know, listen, I start on the outside and I work my way in. And, you know, he's like, you know, you basically caused the sexual assault of Julia, and you know that Alice is not the same person. You killed her and you're never getting her back. And... you know, you're always going to feel this way. I'm always going to come back, you know, and you know this because I'm in your head. You know I'm right because I'm you. And it's just this awful personification of all the intrusive thoughts that Quentin has had throughout his life.
So do you think the writers of the show are, like, cackling over this? Because this
yes,
is like...
Yes, absolutely.
This is, like, their major thesis of this show, right? Like, yes. This is the thing that is...
Ooh, we love suicide in the show.
Slightly
it's so fun.
Different than... I mean, you know, there's tones of it, obviously.
So much suicide occurs in the show.
Yeah, I know. It sucks. Too much.
Too much.
How many are we up to? What's our suicide count?
I don't keep track of that because I don't want to keep track of that. But it is very high.
Yeah.
And it sucks a lot. And we're going to see more of it. And there's another one that happens later in this season. It sucks. Sucks, man. And the thing is, like, that whole thing where Quentin stands up to his depression monster, that's, like, really great. And it's great to see. But, like, the only time they really kind of aced it with the whole mental health message was in The World in the Walls, when Quentin saves himself from the Scarlatti web. But other than that, man, it just sucks.
Depression does suck. All right. So, meanwhile...
Elliot, Fomar, and Margot in a carriage, drinking some wine. Fomar gets drugged. Thank fucking God. Apparently, the fairies have been fucking around in the Northern Orchard, and things have been going weird.
They're terraforming.
Well, they think that the fairies are poisoning the ecosystem. And Elliot and Margot, you know, they're like, you know, we wish we could fought, but we didn't end up fighting. And Elliot says, you know, I wish we could just fight and... you know, get past whatever this weird thing is between us, you know, because we're different now. We're different people, and now we have depth and character, and everything's complicated.
Yes, and Margot.
So their friendship is still not.
Margot
what it
gives
used to
quite
be.
A look when he says depth and character.
I know.
Some other great acting by Summer.
Shout out to Summer. Summer's. What a woman. And then they get to the Northern Orchard, but it's all mushrooms. There's no orchard anymore.
Nope.
It's a really cool kind of pull-out shot, too.
It was hard to tell what they were at first.
Yeah, and then
it
wasn't
until later when they were looking at the Mario type of mushrooms.
And then we see Q staring down at the water. One thing I noticed, which I thought was an interesting choice, I don't know who exactly did this, since obviously there's no such thing as two Jason Ralphs in one scene.
Maybe he has a twin brother.
Secret twin. But the Depression Quentin is, like, holding on to Q's shoulder the whole time. Like, he has a literal grip on him, which I thought was interesting. But basically, he tells Quentin to kill himself, and Quentin is staring into the water, and he just looks so sad and bereft, and it's so upsetting to see. I hate it so much. And you see... out from the abyss comes the face of a dragon, and then it disappears again. And Benedict comes up, unexpected Benedict, and pulls Quentin away from the edge, and he says, no, you shouldn't. I'll get away from the edge, sir. You know, we can talk about this. You know, I've felt these feelings before. And Quentin's like, oh, I never knew. I'm so sorry. And he's like, you know, You know what your parents tell you, bottle up your emotions and then turn them into maps. Never tell anyone about it, you know? Ah. And Quentin's like, that's awful.
I like Harvey as an actor, and I love him on What We Do in the Shadows, but I like Book Benedict better than...
Well, they're fundamentally different characters.
Yeah, they're totally different characters.
Yeah.
It's a shame, though, because Book Benedict... It would have been nice to have gotten a bit of a story arc with Book Benedict.
Well, you have the book.
I read it.
Yeah.
And
read it again.
It ends up badly.
Read it again, baby.
Why? It doesn't change.
Or read my fan fiction, because Benedict's, both of them don't die in mine.
Uh-oh.
Thank you.
What does he do?
They don't die.
What do you mean he don't die?
They just don't die.
What do you mean?
I didn't want them to die, so they don't die.
So what happens, though?
I won't spoil it. You gotta read it.
They gotta end up somehow.
You gotta read it. Read my fanfiction, Dad.
Do they marry each other or something?
No! No, I will give you the printed version I have, and I will let you read it. Mm-hmm. There you go. It's printed, so you won't even have to look it up on your phone. You're welcome. But Benedict tries to distract Quentin, and he says, you know, sometimes, isn't it funny, sailors would tie themselves to the mast in case they, like, went mad or whatever. And Quentin's like, oh my god, tie me to the mast! And... So Benedict does, and he says, okay, I want you to make sure and promise to me that you will not untie me until we get back to Whitespire, okay? And Benedict is very serious. He says, yes. And then we see Alice and Julia, and Alice actually does magic. She does that horse spell that she did in the very first episode. She makes a little glass horse.
And she's very happy.
And she goes to Dean Fogg, and she fixes his glasses for him.
And then, ta-da, Alice is a brand new person.
Yeah,
who is wonderful.
She's got
kind
magic again.
And sweet.
Woohoo!
All right. No.
She's just Alice.
She's just Alice.
And then we see Elliot and Margot, and they come to the conclusion that the fairies are terraforming Fillory in order to make everything more habitual for them, because, you know, that's why they're always staying moist and always in baths and stuff like that.
At least that makes sense.
Yeah. And then...
Why don't they turn it, rather than turning it into mushroom fields, though, why don't they turn it into a big lake?
No, because... Margot pulls one of the mushrooms from the ground, and there's a fairy egg inside.
They're
like, oh my god, they're growing an army.
Are they, or are they just growing babies?
Well, they're growing babies. That's what we're going to find out.
Right.
Is that the sixth dimension where the fairies live, which is overlaid Fillory, they can't, like, survive there anymore, so they have to come to Fillory where their kids can survive. So... Gotcha. Less imperialistic force, more like immigratory force. And it sucks for both, all parties, you know? But Elliot's like, oh my god, this is a thin frosting of bullshit on a cupcake of conspiracy. We need to do something about this. And Margo comes back with like a handful of eggs, and she's like, we're kidnapping! Come on, get in the carriage!
Egg napping!
And then we see Quentin and Poppy, and he's tied to the mask.
I would have started smashing eggs myself.
No, they're babies. And Poppy's like, you know, I thought you could handle it. Ugh, hate her. And that's when she explains that the key sometimes doesn't affect people right away, and sometimes it does. And she's like, I could take the key for a bit, you know, I feel kind of bad about it, give you some relief. And he's like, no, I'm just going to see it to the end. You know, I thought, and you know, the keys are helpful sometimes, you know, they make keyholes and like doorways to places and stuff like Earth or the Netherlands. And she's like, oh my god, what? You mean I've been stuck here when I could have gone home the whole time? And so she puts on she takes her jacket, she puts it around her hand, and she grabs the key without touching it, and she runs off. And so...
Well, it's not very far to go.
Yeah, I mean, it's a small ship.
It's a boat. It's not that big a boat.
And then we see Margot and Elliot. They're back in the carriage. Fomar has woken up from his drugged stupor, and Margot has gotten a like sharp fanged toad to bite Fomar's dick to make it seem like they had sex. And Elliot's like, congratulations, sir, good for you, you finally did it, don't you know women have teeth down there? Yeah, loved it, great. You're making a face. And then we see Quentin and Benedict, and Quentin's like, Benedict, go and get Poppy. It's untie me. And Benedict's like, but you said don't untie me. He's like, okay, fine, go get, make sure she doesn't leave no matter what, and get that key from her. So Benedict goes after her, and she punches him in the face. Or, you know.
Well, they both punch
each other. And then Poppy gets away, Or no, she doesn't get away, but Bennett gets the key, but he comes out with little tears on his face, and he looks just so sad and dejected, and he doesn't really say much. He just says, "I'm sorry," and he jumps off
Don't
the ship
do it,
and
Benedict.
Commits suicide. Well, and just to rub it in,
he just jumps over the board.
The dragon, voiced by Sarah Gamble, eats Benedict and says, yummy.
Well, we know that Benedict went off to a better place.
No, he didn't.
Which was
the underworld.
What we did to in the shadows.
No, he still is in the show.
Oh, he's still in the show?
Yeah.
Oh, I thought he was going off
no.
the star and what we
they
did
have
in the
to
shadows.
Go to the underworld to go get the key.
Oh, well, okay, at least that's accurate.
But,
I don't know. Would it have been more effective if Benedict just took an arrow to the neck like he did in the book?
I don't know.
What
I think,
do you think? It's
I
more
think
sad
I,
if he jumps
I think
off.
It, yeah, I think it's sadder. It sucks.
It's a double slap.
Yeah.
Well, then they make
really
up some bullshit excuse that they have to go to the underworld.
Well,
because...
well. First we see Julia, and the fish dances, does a little song and dance, and Penny says, "You know, I'm saying goodbye. I'm going to leave. Don't suddenly act like you care about me just because I'm going." And she's like, "No, I actually care about you." And he's like, "Well, you care about me, but you just gave up fucking magic. Like, what are you going to do now?" And she's like, "Well, I was going to just, like, fucking try and remember what it was like to not have magic and not have quests and gods going on." And he's like, "Yeah, but you have nothing beyond that." And so Alice comes in, and Penny's like, "I'm leaving. Don't try to stop me from going, you know. I don't want to talk to Katie. I don't want to talk to any of you guys about this." And Alice says, "Well, no, don't leave. Let me help. I can just make you a new body." Like,
of course.
Yeah, like, literally, I could just make you a new body like Mayakovsky did for me. So Penny's like, "Well, that is an idea.
Let's make a body. That always goes well, right, Dr. Frankenstein?"
Uh-huh. He was a college dropout. Didn't have the skills.
So
Alice
was Alice.
Alice
never graduated.
Never graduated, but she's still technically going to college. But then we see Julia reading in the park, and she has a dream of Reynard. And he's like...
I thought he was dead.
He's not dead. He's sitting alone in sweatpants in an apartment without magic. But
he's a magical creature. Why wouldn't he not have magic?
Because OLU took his magic and gave it to Julia.
Oh, that's right.
Mm-hmm. But he's like... She's like, "Well, why do I keep seeing you?" And he's like, "Well, you know, when you were a little kid, you climbed up a tree and you broke your arm. Your arm healed after 6 weeks, but you never got over your fear of heights. I'm not the broken
arm.
I'm
the fear.
I'm the terror." And then she wakes up.
Kind of weird. He should have said, "I'm the fear."
Yeah, he should have said, "I'm the fear." Yeah.
Terror. Weird. Are you, like, terror? Is it... Are you terror of heights?
Terrified.
But you're afraid of heights.
You can be terrified of heights.
But I think you can be afraid of heights more than you're terrified of heights. Fear kind of sums it up.
Semantics.
It sees a fox. What
but,
does he know?
Yeah, then we see Poppy and Quentin, and Quentin's like, "Well, best case scenario, the dragon shits out the key because Benedict's dead, you know?" And she's like, "Oh, well, dragons don't shit. They're actually physical portals, so actually the key has probably gone to the underworld, so they have to go to the underworld to go get the key, because they're also..."
Guess what they don't do this episode?
Go to the underworld, because it's the end of the episode.
Exactly.
Because it's the end of the episode. And then we see Alice doing magic. She's practicing bone knitting, and Penny is watching, and he's like, "Oh, I really appreciate that you're, like, doing this for me." Alice is the one person, aside from Katie, those are the two people that actually tried to help Penny in any capacity in trying to get him back. And it sucks, man. But at least she fucking cares, you know? But then she's doing the bone knitting when she starts to seizure. She starts seizuring because magical transfer, it's not her magic. It's like her body's rejecting an organ, you know?
Oh, I thought it was because she ate that tail.
No, it's not because she ate the tail. So Penny bees the fish, and he does the "I will survive" little song and dance in order to alert something, just in case someone comes inside
and
the
cottage. I'm betting already who that person is, because I don't remember.
Oh.
I'm betting it is our hero, Todd.
Oh.
Because who else is in that house?
Well, Quentin, like, comes in, I think, is what happens.
Don't ruin it for next episode.
Well, that's next episode.
All right. Well, that's it. What do you think of this episode? What's your rating?
I like this episode, but also I think I'm going to give it a 4 out of 7. Because I don't like that I feel like the way that they handled the themes of depression and mental illness and suicide in this episode is not great. It's not good.
Yeah.
It's not a good time. And it sucks. And also, fucking Benedict dies, and it sucks. And he gets eaten by Sarah Gamble. Sucks so much.
So, what'd you say, 4?
4 out of 7.
Yeah, I think I'm gonna go 4 also. Uh-huh. It's too much, too downer. I don't like.
It's
I don't
still
like,
good to see Quentin in
I don't
his
like
little
TV
outfit.
Poppy. I don't know. It just. It,
I enjoy the yearning, but that's.
I mean, there was. Yeah. I don't know. I mean, I get it. If at least they moved the Fairy Queen plot forward a little bit, but but the rest of it, yeah, it just wasn't. It wasn't. There was nothing other than the dragon. The dragon is creepy.
Dragon is creepy.
But other than that, yeah, that's it. 4.
Yeah.
All right, so 4s all around.
Yeah.
Okay, so what's going on in the fillery fandom? Something that starts with F.
Well, just recently was the GalaxyCon panel where everyone got to talk to people. A lot of fun questions were asked. I think there's a recording where you can watch all the talks about that. The Stonefruit Grimoire is still out, is still a thing. Oh, the Magician's What If event is happening right now. Where?
So wait, What If? Is that like the Marvel What If?
Yeah, I think
so
it
is. Is there like What If Quentin met Wolverine? Is
no, it's not that. The... There's the Magician's What If Exchange, which is like What If in the parameters of the show, and then there is the Magician's Smut for Smut exchange that just happened, so there's a whole bunch of new fix for that too, which is super cool. And the Magician's Big Bang, still posting sneak peeks about that. And yeah, that's about it on the fillery front.
All right. Where can they find you online?
Well, you can find us at Fillery Father on Twitter, at Fillery and Father on TikTok, and Fillery and Father at gmail.com. Send us emails. We have emails now.
Yay!
I'm going to read them.
Oh, I've not heard these emails.
You have not heard them. I've read them.
Okay. All right. Am I supposed to answer? Are you supposed to
I'm
ask?
I'm reading them out loud. Okay. So this first one is from Ellen Simmons. We love you, Ellen.
Yay,
Thank
Ellen.
You so much. It's titled, #, Fillery and Father Fans. Dear Fillery and Father, while listening to the weekly FNF podcast, I forget that you're not in the room and cannot hear the things I'm shouting to you. It's most unsatisfying to be brought up short every time when you don't reply. So here's a selection of phrases that I contribute from my living room to a typical Fillery and Father episode.
All right, wait, are we supposed to respond to these in the way that we would if we heard these?
No, I'm just reading.
Well, how about we do that? I will have Ellen.
Feel free.
You be Ellen and
I'll
be us. Okay?
Feel free to pop one or two of them in at an appropriate time or any time, really, in your next recording session.
All right, well, if Ellen had said what?
It's piffed. No, totally. Yes, oh my god. Wait, I just Googled it. I have opinions, and many thanks, your fan, Ellen.
Oh, I thought they were actually questions that they wanted
no,
to
No, they're
answer.
Not questions, they're right. comments.
So we have to keep in mind that we have to Google it?
No, we don't. Sometimes we don't have access to phones. But time, here's another email. This is from
thanks, Ellen.
The Fick List. Aaron sent this.
Hey, Aaron all of Aaron, our fans.
I ease. Love you, but I hate you for this. Subject line is, this is an email. You have now received an email. I
Yay.
Hope you enjoy this email. Regards, Aaron, the Fick List.
Thank
Fuck
you,
you
Aaron.
Aaron. I love you.
It's wonderful. Thank you.
And this
even something as pathetic as that is awesome to get.
And this third and final email is from
love you, Aaron.
Emma Kane.
Oh, Emma. So wait, is this like...
A new
Well, first of person. All, new person, but also I'm sensing a trend here.
E-names?
Yes. You can only be a Fillery and Father fan if you're
That's not true. Mai listens to this podcast.
Oh, okay. Yay, Mai.
We love Mai.
And Brenda. Yay, Brenda.
And Sergio.
Yay, Sergio.
But this is from Emma Kane.
And Lev. Yay, Lev.
It says, I love your podcast, friends. Hi, Evelyn and Scott. I heard on episode 5, A Life in the Day, that the show hasn't gotten any fan mail yet, so I thought I'd drop in and tell you how much your podcast rocks. Listening to episode 5 while cleaning my house made it go by in a flash, and I can't wait to listen to the rest of y'all's episodes, which I'm sure are as delightful as this one.
This one was not as delightful.
It was such a treat to hear Hale, the reason I was so excited to listen to y'all's show, lol. And your dad is so funny, and I'm sure my neighbors were wondering where all the laughing came from. Thanks for the best content and superb interview. And hey, I cry a little rewatching The Mosaic Life too, Evelyn. P.S. I love Evelyn's art, and I love, love, love their At Last Jukebox, The Ghost and Creature, Half Alive, Qualia animatics, which are so lovely and uplifting and always put me in a joyful mood.
From Emma, you are welcome to write us anytime.
Keep sending us
especially
things.
Especially since you think I'm so funny.
Don't feed the wolf. But thank you so much. And, you know, we love getting messages, so...
Yep, and remember, if 100 people send an email saying,
Dad
will write a fan fiction of some sort.
But, hey...
Does it have to be magicians related?
Yes. Yes, it does.
All right, that seems like
a fair
criteria.
I'm a fountain of information if you ever have a plot question.
I've already seen two and a half seasons.
That happens?
In what, the show?
Yeah.
I can always go back and listen to old episodes.
Or look at your notes. Oh, wait, you throw them out.
I do throw them out. Sorry, we have nothing to resell.
I have a whole notebook. So, hey, where can people find you?
Well, I live in this house.
No, dumbass.
The Twitters, Mighty Bedbug at Twitter and Mighty Bedbug on Instagram and Facebook and... I don't know, other places? There's a lot of other places. I don't know. Those are the best places to find me, I guess. What about you? Where do they find you?
You can find me at @wow_then on Twitter, at @fishydwarls on Instagram, and Patreon, also under the name Evelyn Rogers. Come and look at my art. I'm making stuff.
And where can they find all your fan fiction?
You can find me at @fishydwarls on Archive of Our Own. And... Whogal, WH0GAL, on Wattpad if you want to read, like, shit I wrote in sixth grade, I guess. I was on fanfiction.net. But yeah, you know, go forth.
Read, enjoy.
Read, enjoy. Yeah. I've got 54 fics.
Or if you read somebody else's fanfiction that you
read,
like,
someone else's.
Give us a recommendation.
Yeah.
For Evelyn to read.
I've got Rex as well.
All right, well.
We didn't do an ad, but the ad was peppered in through several things.
I was too tired to do an ad.
So many ads for so many different people.
Well, that's right. There are lots of ads. So.
But thank you for listening.
Yeah, thank you for listening, and we did it!
No,
yay!
Thank you for Billy and Father!
Yay!
Thank you.
We did it. Bye!